When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Chris Canty in for Key. Good morning, guys.
Yo, yo, what's happening, Max?
What's happening, Jay? Ask Jay.
What's Jay
on location?
There, I can't see out there. I'm blind. But I'm here. And I saw the game last night, and that's all that matters, boys. We're here.
So, speaking of the game last night, I mean, basically, UConn went unchallenged the entire tournament.
Well, it got touch and go there for a minute. I mean, you're talking about San Diego State going on a 14-4 run starting at the 9-minute mark in the second half. Like, they made
it
interesting.
They
cut it to five, and UConn on the season is 0-4 when games are decided by 5 points or less. So it got interesting.
Think of the reach there. At one point in the game in the first half, it got to a score.
It got interesting, Max. It got interesting.
In the second half, Max,
Interesting. I'll put it to you that way. But, I mean, UConn has been dominant all tournament long. They have a plus 120-point differential throughout the tournament in six games. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Chrissy, did you just say all tournament wrong?
I said all tournament long.
Oh, I thought you said all tournament wrong.
I mean, Jay, I know it was a late night for you. It's an early morning for you.
Hey,
I get all
I'm
of that
asking.
Thing. You're hearing things that you want to hear.
I'm asking for clarity.
I'm trying to clarify for you.
They covered every spread.
UConn's just a dominant team, man. And Chris, we were on the show yesterday talking about how we would both take them to cover the spread at seven, just because I thought they had way too much size. I mean, look, when San Diego State, the question was always, can they score enough in the first half? And when you miss 14 consecutive shots, you're getting shots beat at the rim by Sanogo and Klingon and those boys. You know, being there, the size that those guys have, that's an NBA front line. And not a lot of college teams play two bigs the way Dan Hurley plays. And for me last night, just watching them win it, watching Bob Hurley Sr. in the stands, who understanding their relationship that he has with Dan Hurley, Bob Hurley Sr., Hall of Fame coach, Coach St. Anthony's in Jersey City, New Jersey, a prestige high school basketball powerhouse back in the day. And knowing that Dan has always been the third man in that family, right? It always started, Chris, with Bob Hurley Sr. as being the guy, and then his two sons and their sister being raised in Jersey City in a predominantly black urban area, right? And then Bob Hurley rises, you know, to being a two-time national champion, back-to-back champion, going through his injury that he had at Sacramento, and then Dan playing at Rutgers, not really making it at Rutgers, you know, being a coach at multiple places, St. Benedict's in Newark, New Jersey, going to Wagner. You know, I dated a girl from Wagner for a long time, so I had that relationship with him. And just watching him rise up through the ashes like this, man, it was just incredible to see him actually become the guy in the family, not the third guy you talk about in the Hurley family last night.
Yeah, Jay, it kind of reminds you of the Harbaugh family, right? You had Jack Harbaugh, who's a legendary coach in college football, and then you had Jim, who was the all-everything at Michigan, and then went on to have success in the National Football League, and then there was John, who was somewhat of an afterthought until he won a Super Bowl in 2012 with the Baltimore Ravens. So I get what you're talking about in terms of the family dynamic, but Dan Hurley is here, guys. Like, I mean, this is a guy that's worked his way up through the ranks, whether you're talking about high school level coaching, being at a mid-major in URI, and now in his second year in UConn being able to have success at the highest level. Like, to me, that is very, very impressive in terms of how he put this team together. And let's not forget, there was a stretch in December or January where they lost 6 of 8 games in the Big East. Like, the fact that they were able to bounce back from that type of adversity and still not waver in terms of who they are, their identity, and their ability to compete at the highest level, to me, that is reflective of coaching.
So, in the end, UConn beats San Diego State 76-59. That's the school's fifth national title. They're the fifth team, the Huskies are, since the bracket expanded in 1985, to win all six NCAA tournament games by double digits. They covered every spread, as I mentioned. What is it, Chris?
Good teams win, great teams cover.
Great teams cover on the way to the championship. And I get that the competition's not the same at the college level because it's getting, you know, siphoned off by obviously the pros at an early and earlier age. And if it's not the NBA, it's overseas. But this has got to be, when you think about the all-time dominant teams, you can only play who's there. It's hard to do more than they did.
I'm not calling them all-time dominant.
Okay, but in their era, they did in their era what the best teams throughout history have done in their era.
Yeah, well, define era. Like, you know, are you talking about last year? Like, it's last year's Final Four in this era? Because I'm not sure they would have won last year.
No. I'm saying that in this era of, even if you want to argue, well, it's not the same, right? But still, you can only play who's there. And if you're beating every team by double digits, if you're covering every spread and you go on to win the chip, how many teams have done it? Well, there are five to win by double digits in every game since 85, since it expanded.
I think I was one of those teams, Max. This is a humble brag there on the back. Like, and it's not that, look, I think UConn is an incredible team. They hit their stride. But I'm not going to sit up here today from understanding college basketball and being in it for as long as I did to call them one of the most dominant teams. Like, this is a team that had a tough stretch. I think defensively they are a great team. And they won a championship. It takes nothing away from them. I'm just not putting them as one of the all-time greats team championships.
That's right.
That's okay. It's not a knock on them.
No, I agree with that. But they had one of the great dominant tournaments.
Yeah. I will say this. I am, as a kid from the Northeast New Jersey, to me, like, I had a nostalgic moment last night because, like, you know, look, I had a weird feeling, just to be frank, about UConn. Kevin Ollie is a really good friend of mine. He was a mentor of mine when he played in Milwaukee, when I played in Chicago. I used to go to chapel with him, Chris Canty. We would talk all the time. So, and he's one of only three black head coaches to ever win a national championship in college basketball, right? You got him, you got Nolan Richardson at Arkansas, and you got John Thompson at Georgetown. And the way things went down with him at UConn left a weird taste in my mouth. He actually completed a lawsuit 9 years ago. He won a championship. He got his salary for $14 million. There was a lot of changes with the school going into the AAC, which I didn't really agree about. It was more about them chasing the football money. But them coming back to the Big East now and representing, and think about the dominance that the Big East has had. You got Villanova winning it with Jay Wright. Now the move that they made with Jim Calhoun, bringing in Dan Hurley, which – I love Dan. I thought he was the right move. Think about what's happening with Georgetown. You have Ed Cooley coming back to Georgetown to revive Georgetown. Think about what's happening with St. John's. Rick Pitino coming back to the city. He was already here with Iona, but to come back and now represent the Big East. The Big East with their TV contract coming up in a year, guys.
Ooh.
You talk about timing now.
Yes, sir.
This is a big move for a power conference. Big move.
So, meantime, we've been talking a lot about Dan Hurley. UConn head coach at the post-game presser. This is on bringing another, this is the fifth national championship, but the first in a long time. In, what is it now? 37. Am I that old? 37 years? I'm bringing another national championship to 27 years, to UConn.
I'm just mostly proud of the way that we've done it and with the type of people that we've done it, the way we, you know, recruit young players, develop young players. You know, we do it without cheating. We do it without lying. You know, it's truly been building a program and a culture. You know, I'm lucky. I have the best coaching staff in the country that attracts these incredible, you know, types of players.
Jay, what do you think?
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Dan. Like I said before, his style is not going to be for everybody. In an age in which kids don't like to be told no, with the rate that's happening with the transfer portal, with the way coaches are recruiting kids off other people's rosters while they're playing, it is a wild, wild west society that we live in right now with college basketball. And Dan Hurley is direct. He's in your face. You saw it last night with 3 minutes left to go in the game. They were up double digits, and he still had this scowl on his face. You're like, damn, man, you guys are up double digits. You're going to win it. But he doesn't turn that spigot off, Chris. it stays on all the time. And that's not for everybody, but it would be for my son, Zane, if he makes it to that level, because I want somebody to hold my son accountable day to day. And that's what he does with these young men day to day for UConn.
Yeah, Jay, when you talk about college basketball, that's one of the things that you harp on is just accountability with these players and the lack thereof based on the transfer portal and the influence of NIL money. Guys are jumping to different schools in order to find the best situation that they perceive for them. But I guess I look at what Dan Hurley is trying to put together from a culture standpoint and say it lends itself to being able to have a certain degree of continuity because you're only going after a certain kid. And Seth Greenberg made the point last night after the game, and he said very few programs have the success in recruiting the geographical footprint like UConn. Look at all of the guys that play integral roles on that team last night. They're all from the New England area. I mean, and I guess you go as far down as D.C., but, I mean, it's impressive to see how they're able to find guys within their area that fit what Dan Hurley wants to do, and they're able to keep those guys in school. And sure, you go in the transfer portal and you pluck a guy here and there like they did with Tristan, and you roll with that. But I think it's a situation where you have the continuity that continues to perpetuate the culture that leads itself to success. And that's exactly what Dan Hurley is building at UConn. This ain't the last time we're seeing them in the Final Four stage. Oh, I can promise you that.
Oh, no. And Max, I will say this. As much as I enjoy watching the game last night because I'm a basketball purist, man, it was a hard watch. It was a really hard watch to be. I always keep it a buck with everybody on the show. And I found myself multiple times watching the men's game being like, I wish I was seeing round two of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, right, man.
I really do. Like, I don't know what to say. Sorry. Just is what it is.
Apparently Jill Biden does too. We're going to get to that
later. Oh.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, right. Now everybody. First time ever everyone gets a trophy. But hold on a second. If UConn is here to stay, that you think this is not the last time we see them maybe chip up in the Dan Hurley era, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're at 5 already, so now this leads to the question. Is it over? Are they a blue blood now? Can we stop or not yet? And if they are a blue blood, who's on your Mount Rushmore of blue bloods, right? Who are the bluest of the bloods? You got to pick 4. So someone's got a couple teams going to have to get left off, Jay. I want to hear that from you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. By the way, you get to work, wherever you're going. You're like, it's called a driveway moment. I wanted to hear this, the Mount Rushmore of Blue Bloods, who they're leaving off, whatever it is, I got to go into it. Right? No problem. Go to the ESPN app. It's probably already on your phone. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. You scroll down to live radio. We're portable. You take us right in with you. Now, Jay?
Yep.
Did I mention we're presented by Progressive Insurance?
Yes, you did.
So here's the question before we get to your list. Does this national championship now cement UConn as a blue blood? Was UConn already a blue blood? What do you think about that, Jay?
Yeah, man. I mean, they've won five chips since the year 1999.
Mm.
So, I mean, blue bloods to me mean there's a sustainability of success. There's a relevancy factor. And I think UConn for the last couple of years has been relevant since Dan Hurley has rejuvenated this team. So when I look at their teams with Khalid Al-Amin back in the day in 99, they beat that powerhouse Duke team. I look at that team with Kimba Walker, where he went on that incredible run during the Big East tournament. I forget the kid from Pitt. He just made fall down the ground. He hit that buzzer beater during the run, and it kind of set up their run during the tournament. I look at the success that they've had over the years. There's no question they're a blue blood. They're one of the most relevant teams in the Big East.
By the way, earlier I said 27 years. I got my wires. It's 99.
Went
to UCLA.
Yeah. They just won it with Kevin Ollie 9 years.
Right. I went to UCLA, which was 95, so it's 24 years.
Yeah, players mess up, Max. It's okay.
Not me. That's the first mistake I've ever made in my life.
Players mess up.
Weird. I don't know what to do. So, all right. So, here's the question now, Jay. Do you agree with that, by the way? Connecticut
Max,
already
been
a blue
up all blood? Night longer.
They've won three national titles since 2011, and it's been three different head coaches. They're a blue blood program.
Something about blue blood, you have to have some history doing it, too. You know what I mean? Like, is that enough? I
the
get
last
that they've
30
done it
years,
recent.
They got pretty
the
damn good
years.
History.
But
how
do you understand what I'm saying?
Max?
You understand
you
what I'm saying?
100 years?
In my mind, you need history, but you don't want it to be too long ago and nothing recent.
Yeah.
You also need recent success, but you don't want all the success to be recent to be a blue blood. You kind of need a little bit of, in my mind, I think you need a little bit of both. Jim Calhoun, by the way, three-time national champion head coach, is going to join us at 9:05. Eastern this morning.
It's interesting that you bring up that point, though, Max. You're talking about not all of your success being recent and wanting to have a storied past. And I hate to do this, but just drawing a parallel to the NFL, the New England Patriots, all of their success from a franchise standpoint happened from the early 2000s when Belichick was there till now. I mean, they're still considered one of the flagship franchises of the National Football League. If you look at their history before the 2000s, it's ugly.
They were on the wrong side of a whooping in the Super Bowl against the greatest team ever.
They would be the equivalent of a blue blood NFL franchise. So, I mean, I don't know how far back you actually have to go. I think when
you're starting to pin it down, right?
I think when you come to college basketball, 20, 30 years is about the time frame that you can use to judge whether or not a program is upper echelon in comparison to the rest of the college basketball landscape. And it's no doubt that UConn fits that bill.
And then you got to factor in the women, too. Like, what they did just elevates whole thing in your mind. The institution itself is college. Okay. So, Jay, Mount Rushmore, what I loved about the Mount Rushmore craze, which kind of faded, but we're going to bring it back a little bit, is it's really an exercise in exclusion, right? In editing. You have to exclude some names here. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball blue bloods? Jay, you got to pick four. Who's on?
All right, Shannon, bear with me because I know I gave you four, but I'm changing it up because I had to. So
remix.
Here we go.
Wait, what? Hold on.
My basketball blue bloods. Yeah, I can change things up.
Hey, flag
Pat.
On the play. Hold on
welcome
here.
Welcome to
Wait a
life,
minute.
Pat.
Mount Rushmore's
welcome to when
only
you
four.
Think you have it one way, and then you know what? You decide to turn right and go a different way in life.
How many presidents are on world? Mount Rushmore?
What? Four.
Okay. But he just keeps changing the face.
What are you talking about? I still have four. I'm just changing who the face is. It's okay. Everybody take a chill pill. Here we go. We got North Carolina. We have Kansas. We have UConn. And we have Duke.
There you go.
On my blue blood list.
There you go.
The Mount Rushmore blue bloods. Now, look, I have very similar to Elon Musk. UCLA has not paid their $8 for their blue check. So I am removing them because, look, with the exception of 1995, which was 20 plus years ago, Max, like we said, like right around that cutoff date, before that, I mean, their last one was close to 50 years ago, 45 years, 1975.
Mm.
So, I mean, they had this incredible run, 64, 65, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 75. And then one in 95, they haven't won one in the 2000s. And that program, I just feel like, has been lost for a while. Now, Mick Cronin is doing a really good job. Steve Lavin, some guys have done good jobs. Ben Howland's done a good job getting them there. But they haven't won one in a very long time. So, sorry, I'm kind of taking you off the list. I mean, even Kentucky, they got one. I'm like, okay, but it feels like they struggle. Where I look at Duke has had five. I mean, they've had 2000. I mean, we have three in the year 2000, 2001. We got one 2015, 2010, 92-93.
Yeah, you can't argue against Duke. Duke's on.
Yeah, I mean, and Coach K, greatest coach of all time, him right there alongside with UCLA. I get that. You have UConn, 99, 2004, 2011, 2014, 2023. You have North Carolina, 2005, 2009, 2017. Mm. And then you have Kansas, 2008, 2022.
Yeah.
You tell me.
No, you're right, Jay. I think the criteria is multiple championships in the 2000s. If you got that, you're probably a blue blood program.
You're
and
the
if
newest
you look at
blue
Kansas's
blood.
Case, even though they don't have as many as Duke, UNC, and UConn in the 2000s,
what?
Look at the conference titles that they've won. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it, 18 straight years?
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Where you're talking about them having a share of the Big 12 title? I mean, it's ridiculous the level of consistency that Bill Self has been able to have out there. So, yeah, Jay, I think you nailed it on the head with this one. I think this is the Mount Rushmore of college basketball blue blood programs.
So
that's it.
I mean, it's where we are today,
there's a lot of different answers, but this is the right answer.
The UCLA question, and we can keep talking about it, and people want to talk about this too, 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776, Mount Rushmore of college blue bloods. Who's on? Who's off? The UCLA question seems to me to be similar. I'm not saying, oh, it's exactly the same, but similar to things that the Celtics and Yankees have gone through. More than the like, you know, you brought up the Patriots to show an example of 20 years you can become a quote-unquote blue blood.
Yeah.
But the Yankees and Celtics had by far the greatest histories, like by far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Celtics at a certain point is like, okay, but what have you done? And they got that chip with the big three.
Yeah.
That was important, and they got back to a final. That's important to keep that going. Yankees, too, hit a dry spot from
the
mid-60s until – well, first until the mid-70s, and then from the 80s, they had to do it again in the mid-90s.
They had to bring in Stick Michael,
Or they become just kind of a generic big-market team. Mm-hmm. So I hear you on UCLA, but – damn, their level of dominance once upon a time was so much.
Close
and then
to
50
years ago.
They did
years
get
ago,
one in the last 30 years, maybe 30 years as I'm saying it is too. All right, look, we're going to get into this.
Was the last one, 95, man, that coast-to-coast play.
Yeah, 28
It's a long
years
time ago, boss.
888 say
ago.
ESPN. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball? Blue Bloods, KJM.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Who is on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball? Blue Bloods, Jay, you got to pick four.
North Carolina, Kansas, UConn, Duke.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball? Blue Bloods. Jay,
got
you heard with Kansas,
me,
Duke, UNC, and UConn. No UCLA, most titles ever, 11, but hasn't won one now in 28 years. No Kentucky, eight
how
chips.
Many, how many has Kentucky won in the last 20 years?
One.
Okay.
2012.
But all right, that's not none.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
One. How many Villanova has, I mean, Villanova has two, 16 and 18.
That's true. They've been better recently. I mean, they won more
Kansas
championships.
Kansas just won it last year, and Kansas has two, but I give an edge to Kansas because of their conference dominance of the Big 12. Like, winning it for as many years as they've won it, I mean, that's been sustainability at the highest level. And I can't tell you from somebody who's been in basketball, college basketball, specifically since 2007. You know how many years I've heard Big 12 being the best conference? It's like every Big 12, best conference, Big 12. I'm like, all right, this team keeps winning the best conference. I'm going to give them credit for it.
Maybe if you had done something in college basketball, Jay, if I associated you somehow with college basketball, but I just don't see it. Dennis in South Carolina, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio. Chris Canty in for Key today.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I just got one question. You know, I guess we can debate all day about the top four here, but I guess my only question is, why are you removing, what president would you remove off Mount Rushmore if you say you can't go back in time and count what UCLA did earlier in life there?
Yeah, that's a valid question. I'm just giving my new update. It's like, you know, it's like Max almost went down a path. Praise the Lord that I don't go down a path.
But I'm glad you didn't, partner.
There's certain things, Chris Canty, that I look at. I'm like, I'm not sure I want that on the Mount Rushmore today.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
When we look at it, are you sure?
Oh, praise the Lord. Help
certain
me,
things
help
should
me.
Be celebrated. But no, Jay, you're right. We got to confine this to the last two or three decades, right? Because if you're going back any further than that, then you're losing the conversation a little bit because of the relevance of the program, right?
Yeah.
That matters when it comes to recruiting and being able to have sustained success, especially in this era of college basketball. So with all respect to what John Wooden did, I think the greatest coach of all time, regardless of sport, you can't win championships off of yesteryear's wins. And so I think that's the thing that UCLA has kind of fallen into, and that's why it's hard to consider them for that conversation with the list.
It's also tough to argue against John Wooden. You look at the record. It is fair to say, just like when you look at Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain, the league, you don't discount it to nothing. They're among the greatest players ever.
Yes.
But you do take a little discount compared to players who played in the modern era because, simply put, the competition was not the same back then, right? So Wooden it was easier to win in Wooden's era than K's era.
He had some dudes, Max. He had Bill Walsh. I mean, look, the dominance that he had.
That's what I'm saying,
from
though, Jay.
64 to 75.
It's ridiculous.
Bill Walton and company, I mean – I've heard people call Bill Walton the greatest basketball player to ever play basketball.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I 100%. But I'm saying you have someone like that back then. There wasn't a lot to go against it compared to – look, Jay, what Coach K did, and you were a part of that, in that era, if you get five, that's much harder than getting five, let's say. And I know Wooden got more than five when Wooden did it.
Are you sure, though? I mean, context matters. Think about the history and the era that John Wooden was winning championships in. It had its own unique challenges. It wasn't easy. I mean, the 60s and the 70s, come on now.
CC.
Think about what was going on in the world back then.
It's not easy.
I'm just saying, but it's not easy to keep the focus on the team and the business of trying to compete at the highest level because players are being pulled in all kinds of directions when you think about what was going on back then.
That's why.
Let's not discount that part of it.
CC, John Wooden had NIL before NIL, baby.
I ain't gonna argue that.
Legendary stories you will ever hear. This has always been the way it is. But I give, like, this takes nothing away from John Wooden being the greatest coach to ever coach college basketball. If you want to put Coach K in that category, fine. Like, I would because I coached by him. But, like, what he's been able to accomplish has been unprecedented. I'm just looking at the last 40 years, and I'm saying, okay, like, if we're updating this, like, if there was a list 45 years ago, no problem. But if we're updating this list, what does the 2023 version of this list and relevancy have to do with what happened 45, 50 years ago?
That's Jaden in Orlando. You're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Jay Will, I do want to know, I want to get your opinion on where the Zags sit on your list. I know that they haven't been able to get over that hump, but in, 2016, 2017, they went to the Final Four. They went back in 21, lost to Baylor. Yeah, I feel like they fit the bill, and they can make it, or they're on their way to make it. But that's all I got.
I hear you. I mean, look, first off, I think the Zags are a blue blood.
What?
I said this the other day.
What?
They've dominated their conference. They got into national championships. But, like, I'm not going to have them – I can't have them anywhere close to the Mount Rushmore because they haven't won a chip. Like, and I – like, their teams that I have closer, like Florida, when they went back-to-back, like, they're closer to the Mount Rushmore than Gonzaga is. Like, you know, I can't really, because you have to win a chip to at least get close on this list, and they've been there. Just haven't been able to get over the hump, man.
Adam in Virginia, you're on KJM.
Hey, good morning. First, I want to say good morning, Brother Craig, to Jay, because kind of looked like Ice Cube from Friday. But anyway, I think the Blue Bloods of 2000 and beyond, maybe 90s and beyond, are different than the ones from 90s and before that. So it's kind of hard to be able to qualify them all. But if you're going to go 90s and beyond, it would probably be Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and you probably have to throw UConn or Villanova in there. But if before that, you probably want to do like Indiana,
right?
UCLA, yeah. Kentucky, teams like that. Because, I mean, Kentucky's been a little bit more relevant than those other two, but overall, I would say they haven't had the success that some of these other programs that I mentioned before have had.
I think that's a great way to do it, Jay. Like, I think going back to the NFL, you look for parallels. And I mentioned this, the Celtics in the NBA, the Yankees in baseball. They had to have renaissances after it had kind of died down. Yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers. Matt. Pittsburgh Steelers were the team when I was kid. They win 4 Super Bowls. But if they don't get a couple more, what's up?
You dating yourself, dog, because that was a long damn time ago.
Let me tell you something. When I was a kid.
That was a long time ago, cuz.
But I was a little kid. But let me tell you something. Me and Joe Green on the Great Space Coasters, you had 2 out-of-market choices back then, Cowboys or Steelers, right? Mm-hmm. If you didn't have a soul, you rooted for the Cowboys. The rest of us rooted for the Steelers.
Yeah.
The point is, the Steelers, if they didn't get another couple, all of a sudden they belong to the past group. The fact that they revived it means that they're in both groups, means they're in, right? And some of these other programs haven't really revived.
Let me ask you this question, Max. How much?
Chris, let me say this real quick.
Go ahead.
So when I do my hits from home, I have my National Player of the Year trophies behind me. When I received the Adolph Rupp Award, I was like, Adolph Rupp, let me start doing some research.
Right.
So when I
started
doing
some
research.
It was from so long ago that people were still naming their kids Adolph.
Not even that, Max. When you start doing some research, there's some reckoning that Kentucky fans have to do with Adolph Rupp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, I have that award, but I look at it differently.
Right.
I'm not sure I would have been able to play for Adolph Rupp.
Right.
So, like, you know, you look at certain things like, okay, so, like, how do you – we all have biases, things that we factor into some of our discussion points, right, where you come from – you know, socioeconomic backgrounds and that sort. I just look at that award differently.
You can keep weighing in on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball, Blue Bloods. Is UConn on? That's 5. Is UConn on? Plus, and by the way, and then not to mention what the women have done. Plus, should the Mavericks shut down Luka and Kyrie? KJM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hey.
Come on. Pam.
Hey.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and Chris Canty is in for Key today. And Chris, you had an interesting question about Blue Bloods. You care to repeat it?
Yeah, so I asked you guys during the break, and it's just my mind got to going when Jay was talking about what makes a program a Blue Blood, and I wanted to ask, how much do iconic moments in the conference tournaments, NCAA tournament, and iconic players factor into the math? Like guys that have come through your program but that have gone on to have success in the NBA? at the highest level. How much of that is a part of program success and equating them to being blue blood status?
Especially when that iconic player had an iconic moment in the tournament.
So you mean Michael Jordan?
When MJ hits that shot and it turns out that that's Michael Jordan. Not Jordan. Mike Jordan, but Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan,
I think that's a really good point, Jay. I think that absolutely those indelible those moments in your mind that are seared into your mind, particularly when – look – say whatever you want about Christian Laettner. That was he was on the dream team before he was even a pro and had a nice little career, but also had an incredible tournament, right?
Like, yeah, you know, he had that an incredible moment in the tournament.
In the tournament.
Yeah, the thing that makes this interesting is the school that by far has the most pros is Kentucky, right? I mean, by far. I mean, with AD, Karl Anthony Towns, John Wall, Julius Randle, D. Book, DeMarcus Cousins, Tayshaun Prince, Jamal Murray. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And they have some iconic moments in the tournament with AD winning a chip. Mm-hmm. But how do you factor that into one chip in the last 20 years?
Yeah, that almost counts against them in a way. The fact that you have an NBA.
So many guys.
You have NBA, multiple NBA all-star teams coming out of Kentucky. And then you look and you go, one chip? I don't know if that's for them or against them.
Yeah, but this is the era of one and done. So, I mean, it's hard to have that kind of success, especially in a tournament format when you don't have the continuity that some of these other programs like UConn and like Villanova have been able to enjoy. Because you're talking about starters being together for multiple years. So I hear you on that. But at the same time, it's like, how can you ignore, you know, when you have those moments and those players that becomes synonymous with the program, right? Like you talked about Michael Jordan with Carolina, synonymous with the program. Like that matters. Like Jay Will, the success that he had in college basketball, synonymous with Duke basketball. Grant Hill, you know, all of those. So I'm wondering how much of that matters when we start giving programs blue blood status.
I'll give you an example. I mean, I know they're a blue blood, but yesterday Reese Davis on game day was talking about, you know, his top 10 most clutch plays during the tournament. And he had Chris Jenkins, who obviously made the play here a couple of years ago on that trail three for Villanova. And we were laughing because it was like literally 4 years before that. People were like, well, you know, Jay Wright has to win one. And all of a sudden, a dude wins back to back. And he's in that blue blood conversation for Nova. Like, they're right on the outside looking in on my Mount Rushmore. They're like five. So, and then you're talking about one of the most iconic shots in college basketball history. He's still making money off of it today, guys. And Christian Laettner, I mean, just the catch against Kentucky in the 2008, the 92 Elite Eight game, I think it was, because they won it back-to-back. It's one of the most iconic shots that still gets used today in every promotional material around the NCAA tournament.
You know, it's funny because when you said Kentucky, I was like, hold on. Let me just look up the name. There's so many.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, that year they won the chip. They had so many players.
You forget you can't hold them all in your head at the same time. It's like,
they had MKG on that team.
MKG, Jamal Murray, everyone.
It's crazy.
What's that, Jay?
I'm saying, like, he was the guy that couldn't shoot. Murray couldn't shoot the rock.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's right.
D. Book, and you mentioned a lot of Tayshaun Prince back in the day. They had so many guys. I wonder if it counts for or against it. But what you were saying, when you say, like, well, can they ever win it? That's like an NFL quarterback where he's one of the best ever. But even if you're past your prime, or even if it's not your best year, but you win the Super Bowl, now that validates in people's minds everything that came before.
Yeah, like Peyton Manning getting that chip at the end of his career in 2015. Yeah.
But he already had one.
Yeah, but But here's the thing:
I'm thinking of Elway at the end of his.
Without taking it too far, Max, you got to have multiple chips to be in that special room.
Yeah, nowadays
when it comes
you do.
Quarterbacks.
Now, Tom Brady changed the equation. It used to be you just need one. But Elway, I'm thinking of like his whole career. Oh, but he never – then he goes back-to-back when he's not really Elway anymore, but it kind of validates him. What if Donovan McNabb had gone back-to-back at the end of his career? He would be thought of like somewhat – the way kind of a guy like Elway is thought of. Like, oh, my God, look at the numbers, and look at all the success in championship games. He got there, and then he won two – but he wasn't even that good when he won. That doesn't matter. He won the Super Bowls. It's like winning a national title. No matter what you do in the tournament as a coach or a program, once you win the chip, then you go back and you look at everything the program's done.
So what does that do for Dan Hurley then?
Yeah.
Now that he's at this point, what is it, his fourth year at UConn, Jay? What does this do for him in terms of validating him as one of the better coaches in college basketball?
I mean, I think there's no doubt that he's going to be one of the top. He's a rising star. I mean, he already is a star. I did want to ask you, Chris, because you played at a school that I think is really – I'm not conflicted by it because I still think he's one of the best college coaches in the game. But when you look at the overall body of work, like you start looking at, you know, everything that happened at UVA with them getting bounced early multiple times, but they still won a championship, right? But it's like, how do you look at Tony Bennett overall?
No, I look at Tony Bennett as a coach that's very similar to Dan Hurley in the sense that you're only going to get a certain kind of kid that goes to school there. Just because of the style of play, the pack line defense, it's not going to be an exciting brand of ball. Like Virginia is content playing games in the 40s and 50s. That's not attractive for today's generation of athletes. So I don't necessarily know that they'll be able to have the sustained success, but they'll have moments where you have guys that have been in the program 3 or 4 years, in Kihei Clark's case, 6 years, seems like. But you'll have times like that when you get those classes that have been together for a long time that can make a deep run into the postseason.
Yeah, it's like it's almost the way, Max, I look at Matt Painter. I mean, they don't have a chip for him to kind of hang his hat on like Tony Bennett does, but you're like, all right, like you guys, Big Ten, I hear you, but it's like multiple early exits, like especially over the last 7 years. Like the recency bias in this stuff is pretty legit.
All right. You heard from Jay Will about his Mount Rushmore. Let's go over it again one more time, Jay. Who's on? Because Kentucky and UCLA are off. Your Mount Rushmore of Blue Bloods in college basketball.
So we had Kansas, we had UConn, we had Duke, and we had North Carolina.
Was UConn on before this?
No,
or did it take this to put him on the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, they were pretty darn close, man.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 chips since 99.
That's
pretty
a
damn
lot
close.
Of chips.
A lot of chips.
But were they on your Mount Rushmore before last night?
It doesn't matter. We're focused on today.
Why? Why does it not matter? I'm asking. Right, is that the thing that put them over
right
the
now.
Top?
No, I mean, think about it. They have more championships than either UNC or Duke since 99. Like, I mean, they've got 5. Those two programs combined have 6. That helps frame it for you in terms of how good UConn has been.
Here are the Blue Bloods. Most NCAA Division I titles. We're showing it on ESPN2 right now. UCLA 11. Kentucky's got 8. And those are the two powerhouses who are not on the list where people are going to go, really?
Yeah.
But Jay says heavy recency bias here. Does San Diego State's run prove why the NCAA should expand the tournament field? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.